ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Health.
Honey is an excellent food, whether you spread it on toast or dip it in a tea or use it in baking, but that's not new wisdom. We all know this. Humanity has used honey as a foodstuff basically, I guess, forever. In more recent times, however, honey's found itself described as a superfood. I know, products that have special properties beyond them merely being edible. Is honey really a superfood, though, or is it just more marketing hype than scientific reality? Microbiologist Dr. Kenya Fernandez is from the School of Life and Environment Sciences at Sydney Uni. Kenya's research focuses on microorganisms living in and around bees and how they affect their health and the quality of bee-made products, like honey and pollen. Let's find out from the expert. Dr. Fernandez, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us too. We'll start with the basics. We're all familiar with honey. Is it just sugar, or is there anything else in it?
Well, honey is mostly sugar, but it's actually an incredibly complex substance of around 200 different chemical compounds. So it's packed full of things like antioxidants and phenolic compounds. It's got things that come from the plant nectar. It's got things that come from the bees themselves, like various peptides. And it's even got things that come from the microbes that live inside the honey, so fermentation products. So it's a really, really complex cocktail.
Uh-huh. So, okay. It's not just sugar. Bees make it to feed themselves with, don't they? But
yeah,
does it have
absolutely
other properties for the bees?
Yeah, so, you know, first and foremost, it's like their main source of energy to carry out whatever they need to do during the day, all of that flying they need to do. But it's got a lot of other functions in the hive as well. So it needs to be a long-term food storage so the bees can go back and eat it when the weather's not good or the season's not good. And because of that, it needs to be able to survive in the hive. Now, you think about this delicious puddle of sugary goodness. Well, that's the kind of thing that microbes would just love to grow in, right? So the bees put in all sorts of things into it to make sure that it is protected against microbes and that it's actually able to remain in a semi-preserved state inside the hive.
Yeah, that we'll get to that in a second. That's right. Honey is an antibacterial thing. It's very wet and liquid and sticky and so on, but unlike most things, it's not actually composed of that much water, is it? And that's important, isn't it, when we're talking about antimicrobial properties?
Yeah, definitely. So when the bees collect the nectar from various plants, it has a lot higher water content. But when they bring it back to the hive, they do a lot of processing to it. So one of the things they'll do is they will suck it up into their bodies, into something that's called the honey stomach. So the bee's gut is kind of different from ours. It actually has two separate components. And one of these is kind of like a little sac, which is called the honey stomach, that they store the nectar and honey into. So by sort of sucking it up and then putting it back into the wax combs of the hive and doing that a bunch of times, they can start to evaporate out that water content. And they also basically just flap their wings at it a lot until it becomes really, really concentrated. So usually less than 20% water in the final product.
So when we talk about the bees making honey, so they get stuck into a flower and they suck the nectar from the flower, and that nectar gets sucked into their body, but it goes, what you're saying, into a special stomach in the bee.
Yeah, that's right. So they'll visit a flower and they'll suck up that nectar into their honey stomach. They'll take it back into the hive and they'll deposit it into their hexagonal wax combs. And they'll do that a bunch of times so that, you know, there might be nectar from a bunch of different flowers, different types of flowers that are all mixed together. And when they're doing this, of course, they might, you know, mix in some pollen that they're also collecting on their bodies. They will be mixing in secretions that come from their own bodies because, of course, they're storing the nectar inside themselves. So it's a lot more than just evaporated nectar.
Yeah, I suppose that's right. That's what I'm getting to. So when we're talking about honey being made by bees, we're talking about it actually being made inside those honey sacs of the bee. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you say there's lots of trace elements. I suppose it depends on the specific honey, does it, as to what they are?
Yeah, definitely. It depends on, you know, what the particular floral source was. It can depend on the time of year, the surrounding land use of the particular place that the bees were foraging on, you know, trace things that come from their own bodies.
Yeah, okay. Now, tell me about you know, because it's not a controversial topic, I know, but people have great beliefs in it, that there are some honeys which are sold as superfoods, aren't there? The Manuka honey, for example, which I think the Kiwis claim, but we've got some claim to it here in this country as well.
Yeah, that's right. So Manuka honey is made from nectar of a particular kind of tree, the Leptospermum tree. Yeah. And in fact, we have a lot of Leptospermum in Australia, more species, in fact, than they have in New Zealand. So we definitely also make that Manuka variety honey here. And what's special about Manuka is that it has this compound in it that comes from that tree that's called methylglyoxal or MGO, and that is very antibacterial. So Manuka honey tends to be really antibacterial. And what else is special about it is that because we know it comes from that one compound, it's quite easy to measure. We can very easily predict whether any particular batch of Manuka honey will be like really good, medium, average, just by measuring that one chemical compound. So that's the reason it's really taken off, because it is special and it's easy to determine how special it is. Does that make it a superfood? Well, it doesn't necessarily help you if you eat it, but certainly if you have a wound or something, it could be used on that.
So it's useful for wounds because why? Because it doesn't have much water. And so if you cover it with honey, the wound with honey, it's like putting a really sealed bandage on the wound, is it? Is that the main reason it's helpful, or is there are there things in the honey that assist in the healing?
Yeah, so one of the main factors is that it does have those antibacterial properties. So if your wound, you know, for example, could get infected, it'll actually kill off those bacteria. Another reason that you mentioned is just because it's, you know, a very concentrated sugar solution. So it's got all these kind of humectant properties. It has also got a lot of different kinds of anti-inflammatory compounds in there. So it can be quite good for wound healing and promoting new skin growth and that sort of thing. So there's a couple of different reasons why it's quite good topically.
I mean, is it just as useful as, you know, how a lot of people have tubes of, I'll use some brand names because people know what we're talking about, the antibacterial creams, antiseptic creams like, you know, Savlon's an old brand, and Dettol and so on. Is honey just as good as those things?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the honey, I suppose, is the answer, which is kind of one of the reasons that it's not sort of in widespread medical use, because it is a natural product and there's going to be batch-to-batch variability. But certainly if you're buying like a registered therapeutic medical-grade Manuka from, you know, the pharmacy, you can get one of those little tubes of it. I've got one in my cupboard. Then, yeah, you can be pretty sure that that's going to work pretty well.
Okay. And would be just as useful as your standard antiseptic creams, pretty
much. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, the honey you're testing though, it's not the same as the one I've got in the pantry at home. Is it medical grade honey? It's different, is it?
So the honeys that I look at in my lab, we look at all sorts of different Australian honeys, and these range from the kind of thing that you probably would have in your pantry to sort of slightly more specialised ones that comes from particular floral types or from particular regions. And the reason that we do that is because there is a lot of knowledge and use around specifically Manuka honey, which is why we've been talking about it so much. But we have a lot less knowledge about honey types that may be just as good that come from Australia and that are more locally sourced and that are able to be produced, you know, here, but also in large quantities. So we look at all different types of honeys, from basically your standard table honey to any kind of different floral variety, eucalyptus, melaleuca, those kinds of things.
What's the best way to get the best out of your honey as a health product? I mean, should you eat it? Of course you should eat it. We've talked about putting it on wounds. And by the way, we're not saying that it, you know, it fixes up all wounds, but it has antibacterial properties. And, you know, if you've got some around, stick it on by the sound of it. Presumably we shouldn't be injecting it, I guess, should we?
No, that wouldn't be very pleasant, I imagine. Yeah, I mean, I guess the main takeaway is that, you know, it is such a complex natural product that there's really no one type of honey, right? So it's like the right type of honey for the right application. There are some honeys that are really antimicrobial, and those are the ones that should be used for wound care.
They're the Manuka honeys, are they?
The Manuka honeys, but we've also found that specifically multifloral types of honeys from New South Wales are really good as well. So these are honeys where the bees are foraging on a diverse range of different native plants rather than just on one particular plant. So a comparison would be like Manuka, which is a monofloral honey, which comes from one particular plant. So, yeah.
What about my favourite leatherwood honey from Tassie? Is that any good?
So again, it will depend on the particular batch. So okay. What we found is that when we look at these monofloral honeys, so like leatherwood, there'll be some that are really antimicrobial and there'll be some that aren't. So you can't really take a particular flower source and predict it. But when we look at these multifloral honeys, which come from different plants, they quite often tend to be more consistently good. So that's what we found. And then there are some honeys, there's been some research going on into the prebiotic effects of honey, so whether honeys can have certain compounds in them which are really good for your gut microbiome, but these are not necessarily going to be the same honeys that are good, you know, for wounds, and they're also not going to necessarily be the same honeys that, you know, you might personally like to eat on your toast. So I think if you really want to use it for a medical application, you've got to do some research and you've got to find a product that actually has those properties that you want it to have. Otherwise, you know, just buy whichever one you like the taste of.
Yeah. Lots of people mix up honey and lemon and warm it up for coughs and colds. Is it doing anything more than giving us a sugar hit, do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't believe there's ever been any proven benefit of it, but certainly anecdotally, everybody knows that if you're feeling a bit crook, you know, you have a lemon and honey and your throat feels better, it gets soothed.
Yeah.
I think we just don't know enough yet to know whether it's actually doing anything more than that, whether, you know, any specific varieties do have that antiviral activity, but certainly makes me feel better, so I'll probably keep doing it.
Some women put hydrogen peroxide, believe that if you bleach your hair with honey, that there's some hydrogen peroxide in there and it has a blonding effect.
That is funny. There is hydrogen peroxide in honey and that's one of its main antimicrobial components, but it's not enough that I think it would noticeably bleach your hair. Okay. That's kind of one of the cool things about honey, because we all know that hydrogen peroxide can be used as like a disinfectant, but it's quite harsh, right? You probably wouldn't want to put it on your skin, but there's very low levels of it in honey and it kind of does this sort of enzymatic curve where it gets produced over a long period of time. So it's like almost like a slow release agent, which is one of the reasons that it's kind of cool for wound use, because it's sort of constantly releasing this little bit of peroxide.
Okay, look, a few other things. You shouldn't give honey to babies, should you?
Yeah, that's because some honeys could have Clostridium spores in them, which basically causes botulism. So it's very unlikely, but it is possible, and babies' immune systems just aren't that well developed, so it's not worth the risk to give it to them.
Okay. Here's the other thing. Is it better to buy raw honeys, you know, the cloudy ones, or the really processed clear ones? Or does it make no difference at all?
So, in fact, the vast majority of honeys that you buy anywhere, at the supermarket, at the farmer's market, directly from your beekeeper, they will be actually raw honey. So honey is very rarely actually sterilized. The only reason it's probably sterilized would be for a particular medical application. So even the honey that you're buying at the supermarket really is raw honey. And in terms of the different colors of honey, well, that just depends on what the bees have been foraging on. So honey naturally comes in all sorts of different shades, from very clear to very cloudy, from, you know, golden to quite dark and almost black in color. So all of that is normal, all of it's fine, and there's nothing to worry about with that.
Here's another one. Does it last forever? There's a view that if you have a nice sealed jar of honey, it would last for 1,000 years.
Yeah, it does last forever. In fact, archaeologists have found it in, you know, ancient Egyptian tombs and found that it's still good. It's not gone off. And in my research, we actually tested specifically those antimicrobial properties, and we found that even after almost 20 years of storage, that the honey had still retained some of its properties. So it's pretty impressive.
Okay. So if you've cut your finger, sticking honey on it and then, putting a Band-Aid on, it's probably not a bad idea, is it?
Yeah, definitely. I would go first for, you know, those medical manuka creams you can buy, because it's in a nice creamy formulation. It's easier to do. But, yeah, if you have no other choice, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to stick any old honey on it.
And have a slice of toast and honey to settle you down after the process.
That's right.
As well. Yes, the term superfood, as we know, is hugely misused. But honey, honey does have special properties. It is true. It's more than just sugar. That much is clear, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it is super in many ways. Whether it's a super food, well, oh, well, debatable.
That depends. Depends what you mean by it, I suppose. Yeah, exactly.
It's certainly more interesting than, you know, plain old sugar. It's got a lot more going on.
Yes, it's got a lot. It's a lot better than processed cane sugar, put it that way. Yeah, that's right. Kenya, good to talk with you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's been good.
Dr. Kenya Fernandez is a microbiologist at the School of Life and Environmental Sciences at Sydney University.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.